Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, a member of Denver Bible Church.
Doug, it's so great to have you in studio this month of September. There's a lot of news. You know, I heard that Obama was on TV last night.
I don't know if he was on TV, but I was driving home last night. In fact, I had to stop by the TV studio, so I had to go out of my way. I heard the entire speech. It was an hour.
Oh, I was counseling last night. I had a wonderful counseling session as the pastor of Denver Bible Church once in a while. Really, I didn't have to do any counseling. I was, I enjoyed the time.
Well, that's good.
But it got me out of listening to the speech.
Well, I monitored it for you. That's right. Why I'm here.
Well, could we,
as a backup.
Well, if we have to talk about it, could we put it off a little bit and talk about things that are more important first?
I had to listen to it, so let's put it off as long as we can. Have you heard about this pigeon in Johannesburg? Speaking of more important stories,
this is big.
This is huge.
A pigeon in Johannesburg. There are public school teachers tuning in right now.
Johannesburg is just outside of Pittsburgh, from what I understand.
You're right. In South Africa.
In South Africa.
Which is in the northeast. Right? In South Africa, there's a city named Johannesburg.
Yeah, Johannesburg. And there's a company down there. They have call centers. You know, they do telecommunications of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And they always have to use their internet connection to move data around between their offices.
Yeah, that's the way you do it.
Yeah. Well, right. Apparently things are not going that well in South Africa, at least as far as bandwidth is concerned.
Oh.
And this company's been pretty frustrated by the fact they can't
so
move
their
data.
So the modern era hasn't been good. So how's that Nelson Mandela necklace working out for you?
So anyway, they're...
They're not with the times. They don't like the speed of their internet.
The 21st century has yet to dawn in South Africa, apparently.
All right.
Because this company actually, they had a race to transfer data, their internet connection versus a carrier pigeon. And the carrier pigeon won.
Come on. Now, this is a true story.
Reuters says it's true. It must be true.
Yeah, fairly credible.
I mean, it sounds believable.
And how far did they send it? Just across the street?
Let me see here. Well, no, they wanted to send the data 50 miles.
50 miles from somewhere inland to the coastal city of Durban.
That's right. So they had an 11-month-old pigeon. I don't know how old that is in people years. Anybody?
That's about six.
Okay, so it was a relatively young, healthy pigeon. Strong pigeon in good shape, which you'd want to use. His name is Winston.
And they
strapped a data card to his leg and sent him out the window.
Yeah.
And then tried to download or upload the same amount of data.
And this pigeon was as happy as a pig in mud, no doubt.
Yeah.
Just thrilled.
Well, I'm sure.
And so who won? The download? Or the pigeon?
The pigeon made it. Let me see here. The download
50 miles.
So the pigeon made it in an hour and 8 minutes.
All right, 1 hour, 8 minutes.
And the data transfer took 2 hours and 6 minutes over their internet connection.
Now that is a funny story. And this just happened yesterday, and already it's here in Denver, Colorado.
I wonder how the story got to us this quickly.
Halfway around the world.
The company there, the internet company providing the bandwidth, they're called Telcom. According to Reuters, they could not immediately be reached for comment.
I guess not. Their phones are probably down. The email to reach them has been delayed.
It's not going to make it there.
Like, please resend. This is not yet a permanent failure. Please reattempt your email.
That's just hilarious. From what I understood, it was not South Africa. Was supposed to be by now a liberal utopian paradise because they took it away from all those racist white people.
Right, and the apartheid was horrendous.
It's bad news.
And evil. But it's sad when the people who take over are socialists and communists.
That's the thing. See, when you take it away from the racists and then you give it to the socialists and the communists, you're not putting yourself in a better situation.
It's worse. As slavery here in this country was inherently racist.
Yeah.
And so slavery was ended and the black family had the opportunity to prosper. And there was tremendous fidelity in the black family.
Yeah.
For public school teachers, there was integrity. Mm. There was a black man, a black woman, married husband and wife. And they raised their children. Well, introduce left-wing, liberal, democratic, welfare, food stamps, housing, yeah. and they destroyed the black family
yeah.
so that now the black community is destroying itself from within, which is far worse than what some slave owner could do to you.
Or far worse what the Jim Crow laws did. It's way worse.
It's worse when you yourself, you're destroying your family with your own hands. You're raising millions of black children without a dad in the home. The immorality is so so widespread.
Yeah.
So South Africa, they went from the frying pan into the fire.
Along with a good, most of Africa is in the same situation because of liberals, socialists, communists, welfare.
Yeah, we've transferred, going on $2 trillion to Africa in foreign aid. We've given them enough money to buy all the farmland in America, all the Fortune 500 companies, maybe twice over, and you destroy people with welfare and food stamps and subsidized housing. You destroy their family. You don't need a husband any longer. Mm. It's easier to live with a check. And you ruin the kids who grow up in that environment without self-respect or work ethic, bitter that they don't get what they deserve. They want more. They're not grateful. And so we've done that to an entire continent of Africa.
And we still haven't learned because now we're trying to further socialize and communize
the
United States of America right here. But we'll leave Obama's speech aside because I've got a story from WorldNet Daily that apparently, and WorldNet Daily is at least as credible a source as Reuters.
Oh, I'd say more
so.
A bit more so.
More so.
More so. Doug, is it true that the telethon we met the matching goal?
Oh, yeah, the
yesterday.
Telethon.
Is it true?
The telethon, we started out with a $500 matching gift yesterday. We were somewhere in the neighborhood of $14,000.
Yeah.
So
we got a matching gift from Chris, an offer.
Right, for $500.
Right.
And it's been matched because our total today as we go to air is $15,124.
$15,000. I'm writing this down. $124.
Right.
That's what we've got so far in our goal of $40,000 for the month of September to keep us on the internet, kgov.com, reaching out to the country and the world.
Right. Now, it seems like every day this week we've opened up or closed the show with a matching gift, and today we haven't had one called in yet.
We're out of matching funds.
If someone wants to give, no matter how big or how small, preferably big, preferably $1,000 or more, a matching gift. This will encourage other people
to
give because it doubles their gift to us, their investment.
So if someone were to call in with a $200,000, $500,000 matching offer, and they'll say, I'll give this amount if other people will give, and then they'll encourage others and they'll help us meet our goal and not only continue broadcasting for another year, but the goal this September, every year, to keep Bob and Your Live reaching out across the country and around the world through our internet presence.
Yes, keeping the national and international arm of the ministry going.
And Doug, we have a significant internet presence. When you Google stories, news stories, individuals, topics, quite often, kgov.com, it comes up among the top.
Yeah, it comes up above the fold.
Which, in internet speak,
that means before you have to scroll down.
Yeah, quite often. Yeah. And we have on kgov.com archives of our debates, our teachings, and you could sort them by topic. You could search by show summary. You could use Google to search our archives. If you want to find a debate with Neil Bortz, on taxes, national sales tax, you just search kgov.com or Google NYART Bortz and it'll come right up.
Wow. And you
for example.
And you make this available free of charge to the whole world.
We don't charge for those archives.
We don't have a subscription fee.
A lot of shows, it's so much a month to be able to get access to the archives.
Mm-hmm.
And we've offered this for free for all these years, and it's those who support us who enable us to do that.
Right. It's the intelligent, enlightened people who want the information are literally subsidizing the ignorant heathens who need desperately need the information.
That's right.
Yeah. And so we try to.
All right. So
but
what's
we do
the phone
need your
number?
Help. The phone number is 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART.
All right.
ENYART.
All right.
For those of you who like to dial that way. 1-800-836-9278.
So more important than Obama's speech was this pigeon who made it in an hour and 8 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was
to Durban.
Far more significant, at least in my economy.
All right.
Now, WorldNet Daily reports that a gentleman is suing a Bible publisher.
A gentleman?
Well, I'm trying to be kind here. I'm trying to work on a kinder, gentler persona.
That's good. We need that at Bob and Yurt Live.
Anyway, this man, this alleged man, and you'll figure out why.
Okay.
He's suing this Bible publisher, Tyndale House, for mental anguish. After
a Bible publisher.
Yeah, he says that they publish Bibles with a negative connotation toward homosexuals.
Oh boy,
yeah,
that'd be a hard one to deny.
How could you deny that
if you publish a Bible that has a negative connotation toward homosexuals?
I'd say
connotation is a weak.
Yeah, it's hardly a connotation.
It's a weak relationship there. How about? Published Bibles that recommend the death penalty for homosexuals.
Right. Call homosexuality an abomination.
That's more than a connotation. Yeah. A connotation would be like, you know, I was out last night and I saw a mugger and I saw a homosexual.
that would be
like a negative connotation.
Yeah, that'd be a connotation.
But the Bible says
it's fairly direct from what I remember of the Bible.
That homosexuality is an abomination, a perversion, links it with murder, adultery, kidnapping.
Yeah. All the worst sins in the Bible.
Catamites, sodomites.
Yeah, all of those.
All the ites.
Well, this person, Bradley Fowler.
Yeah.
He's suing Tyndale House. And by the way, this Fowler fellow, he had a blog on Senator Barack Obama's campaign website last year, shockingly enough.
Now, this isn't he had a blog about Barack Obama.
No.
And I thought we weren't going to talk about Barack Obama.
We're not going to talk about his speech. Oh. When you're talking about deviance, it's hard to keep Obama
out of the
conversation.
It just comes up. So this Bradley Fowler, who's suing to try to stop the publication of Christian Bibles and the Hebrew Torah in America, he had a blog on Barack Obama's campaign website last year.
Yeah.
So he
and not just a connotation. I mean, he had it directly on there.
He had it.
It wasn't tangential to the website. It wasn't like a link to his his blog. It was on his.
It was on there.
Yeah.
And these are the beautiful people who believe in tolerance, diversity, free speech, respect for all religions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except, and he wants to sue to use the force of government so that we cannot teach Christian morality.
Yeah.
We can't. Right. Okay.
He says he wants to be compensated for the past 20 years of mental instability that apparently he's experienced due to the Bible.
Now, hey, I think I could prove that he is mentally unstable.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he didn't file this in Colorado.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We have Senate Bill 200, which was signed. It's on the books, and it says forbidden. It is forbidden to publish material discriminatory against homosexuality.
That's right. Senate Bill 200 was signed into law. It's now a law.
It's a law.
Signed by Governor Bill Ritter.
Yeah.
Here in Colorado. It's a law custom made for this fellow.
Yeah.
And he's obviously
you
mentally
see, Christianity
unstable.
And homosexuality are mutually exclusive. They will not both remain out of the closet. One or the other will be shoved in the closet. And as we heard from Indiana a couple shows ago, an AFA Indiana director, American Family Association, told a Christian activist, don't mention God in these public forums about homosexuality.
That's right.
Not only do the homos want to shove us into the closet, but National Right to Life for 30 years has said, don't mention God.
Yeah.
We're going to win this on secular terms.
So the Christians have basically been cowed by the homosexual movement.
Yeah.
They've been beaten down.
Yeah.
You know, and you know if you have a job in a corporation or a company,
you better keep your mouth shut.
You better shut up. You better not even make
you better
jokes
keep
about
your
it.
Mouth shut about homosexuality.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phones. That story. So he's suing, and he's also suing Zondervan Thomas Nelson.
Well, yeah, he's filed complaints against Zondervan Thomas Nelson and Tyndale House.
A lawsuit.
So every Bible that's a real Bible, you know, not one of those feminist Bibles published over in Brussels or whatever, but real Bibles.
Yeah, you mean the gender neutral?
Yeah, I think they have something like
HIV version.
I think he might be okay with that version. I'm not sure.
The NIV wasn't it? The NIV was gender neutral. There, they had two versions of it.
Right, the HIV gender neutral. I mean, NIV, you're right.
Gender
NIV.
Neutral and the regular.
Yeah.
And, all right. You know, I use New King James. A lot of people use King James. The NIV, you can get saved through the NIV.
Sure.
But they had homosexuals on the translation team.
Yeah.
And it was just it's just for them, for the publisher who owns the copyright to come out with a gender neutral version.
Yeah.
You know, they're whacked.
No. I'm not getting into any any NIV Bibles. No. I like the New King James. I like to flip back to the old King James because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
But they're both very effective at communicating the gospel.
Yeah. And you could read it in Greek or Hebrew directly.
Well, you could.
If you think the Bible's been translated too many times,
right.
That would be one.
from
Greek.
Greek to English.
English. That's one.
Portions of it were in Hebrew, and they were translated from Hebrew into
English.
English, so that would have been one step.
So if you think it was translated too many times, just read it in Greek. Yeah. Stop whining.
Yeah, and the great thing about the New King James or the Old King James is the boys are boys and the girls are girls, and you can tell.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not like that in the HIV.
No, and
the NIV.
It even says God created them male and female.
It does.
It says it right there. All right, let's go to the phones. Line 9, Mike, speak your mind.
Bob, how are you today?
This is Mike from Greeley, Colorado, up north. Mike, I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, great. Well, I have a suggestion.
Okay.
For these people that think that God's word is should be outlawed.
Yeah.
I wrote this in an article in the paper up here, and boy, did I make a stir. But you need to sue God.
Oh, the publisher.
They
should sue. Don't sue the publisher.
That's a good point.
Sue the author.
Yeah, and then when he doesn't show up for court, or when they think he doesn't,
right? He'll be there.
They should storm into heaven and arrest him.
There you go. Kick down the gates of heaven.
They would try it. In fact, it's been done, right? Tower of Babel.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They would try it.
Yeah,
but on Judgment Day, it will be fascinating. All these people we read about in headlines, we will see them.
Yeah,
we will see them, and they will make their case before God. Happened to Job. Hey, Mike, Sunday night in Denver Bible Church, we get to the part of Job we've gone through from the first verse of the first chapter. We've reached the part at the end of the book where God comes on the scene.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be so great. Sunday night at 6 o'clock at Denver
That's
Bible
a good
Church.
Part. I've read that.
Yeah, 72nd and Oak in Arvada. Doug, it's so cool. The whole book, Job is saying, oh, I wish God were here. I want to have a word with him. I want to tell him.
Right.
And then God comes on and says, okay, what's your story?
Now, but God waits, and he lets all Job's friends and all of man to have their commentary and get have their debate, their healthy debate.
Yeah.
What is the meaning of life and all of that?
And so, and Job is like, he's demanding. He wants his time in court. And so the Lord shows up and he says, all right, Job, what's up? And Job says, I'm sorry, please forgive me. That's it. It's just over.
Job's a sensible fellow. And that's interestingly enough, Mike, if they were actually able to kick in the gates of heaven and they had their handcuffs and they were ready to take God in, as soon as he appeared to them, they would all fall on their face in fear, and they'd wet themselves.
Yeah, unless you ask them now. Now they're willing to spit in his face.
Oh yeah.
On the day of the great white throne judgment, that's going to all change.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, my father God can whoop their mother earth.
Yeah.
I'm
reminded of Paul on the road to Damascus. Now, Paul was persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ more than anyone.
Right.
And the minute he realized that Jesus Christ was communicating with him, he called him Lord immediately.
Immediately.
He was terrified.
And Doug, the nation of Israel rejected their Messiah. Jesus Christ is Jewish.
Right.
And they rejected their Messiah. And more than any other individual, for a human cause, the Apostle Paul was the key anti-Christian agitator to turn the nation of Israel against their Messiah. And that's why he does write in the New Testament that he destroyed the church.
Yeah, he uses the term.
That's why he says that. And he was the greatest sinner, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Mike, Anything else?
Great point.
You know, you guys are just on a roll today, and I don't want to interrupt, but I just thought I'd interject.
All right.
That, you know?
Yeah, you're rolling up in Greeley too. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, God bless you, Mike.
Brought the roof down up here.
I'm sure
it
did.
I said that in the paper.
Great.
I thought I'd share that with your audience there.
Great job. Thank you so very much for calling in. And all right, now Doug, what's the next?
So Mike's off now, and so we pretty much can't avoid it any longer. Let's get to the speech by Barry Obama.
All right, we'll do that. But I hope we could eventually recriminalize homosexuality.
Oh yeah,
because one or the other, they can't both be in the public square.
No.
So one or the other.
And right now, it seems to me that we're getting pushed out, and they're coming out.
Oh,
more
Christians and
more.
And major corporations, employees, they can't say that homosexuality is perverse. That it's wrong, they can't do it.
But Bob, when you use a word like recriminalize,
that
sounds extreme.
We need to work to restigmatize, recriminalize, and get them to repent. So there is a threefold strategy to dealing with the issue of homosexuality. Restigmatize, because it's gross.
It's disgusting.
It could make you nauseous.
Yeah.
If you were in a restaurant, you just had a large lunch, you could lose your lunch.
Definitely.
Definitely. So restigmatize, recriminalize.
Recriminalize.
For 3,500 years, it's a crime.
That's where I tend to lose people. Oh, wait, for what now?
For 3,500 years, homosexuality was a crime.
Well, wait a minute. Now,
it's not just a lifestyle preference, it was a crime.
But Bob, when I talk to people who are in, let's say, their 30s to 40s, people in my age group.
Yeah.
Homosexuality has been virtually legal, or at least not a criminal offense, for their entire lives.
Through their lives,
and
right.
And so they...
So same thing with adultery. People think adultery has to be legal.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be legal to destroy someone's marriage and the children in the home? Adultery was a crime. It's not just a sin. It's also a crime. But when you have Christians saying, like, focus on the family, you have the right to produce pornography. It's a free speech right. Yeah. We just have to regulate it. Mm. And we have to regulate how you kill children. You can't stab them in the back of the neck. You could stab them in the navel.
Right.
I mean, the Christians have lost it. The Christians are off the reservation. So the Christians think homosexuality should be legal. Adultery should be legal. Pornography should be legal. Fornication should be legal.
Yeah, we got to get through to the Christians first.
Right.
We got a lot of work to do on that front.
And that was, you know, the Lord would rebuke the religious leaders. And the prophets rebuked the religious leaders.
That's right.
And the priests were going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
Just read the books of Moses, the Hebrew scriptures.
Yeah. They
or the New Testament.
They didn't equip themselves very well.
The high priest was the worst.
And you're right. I hadn't thought about that. But when the prophets are really going after someone, it's either a major political or religious leader.
Quite often, right.
Quite often.
Because they're the leaders
always.
And the people follow the leaders. So if the leaders are corrupt... And Christians say, oh, you can't criticize a leader. Well, then throw out 98% of the Bible.
Right.
Just throw it out. Mm. Just be true to yourself and throw out your Bible.
Let's go to Denver. David on line 7. Speak your mind.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Howdy, David.
We're rolling along here.
How's it going?
Well, from what you've been hearing here, it's not going that well.
Well, I don't know. I was just on the... KGov website.
Yeah.
I'm just on it right now. KGOV.com.
That's it.
Yep.
And it says here that you have $14,000 of your $40,000 goal.
Yeah, yes. We're doing well.
And since I didn't go to public school, I know that you need to have about $26,000 more to reach your goal.
That's right.
Because I know how to add.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
He didn't go to public school.
So I would suggest
I went to public school,
that they get
but
on KGov.com.
KGov.com.
And go to the easy-to-navigate website.
All right.
Oh, good.
And there's a tab you can click on called Store, and I'm doing
Store.
It right now, and there's all these products available that you can buy.
Products you can buy, and there's a donate department. There's a whole department for donations.
Yeah, and it's so easy because this website is so easy to navigate, unlike,
some others.
Places like MySpace.
All right. So, David.
That's awesome, David.
Thanks for encouraging people to come to kgov.com and give. We're now over $15,000 Doug, we're on our way.
Yeah, yeah, and I appreciate David making people aware out there that if one person could just write a check for $26,000, we could move on from.
Yeah.
Or go on the website, buy $26,000.
All right. Thank you, David.
Let's go to Rick in Denver. Speak your mind.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, guys. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, just wanted to, you know, there's so many liberals I talk to, and they say, you know, what's wrong with socialism? I was wondering if you just tell us all what God says or
what's
country should be.
What's wrong with socialism? It violates God's command, thou shalt not steal.
Now, wait a minute. Wasn't that an Old Testament command? Does that make it into the New Testament after God went into therapy?
Yeah, the Lord Jesus repeated, of course, thou shalt not steal.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
Rick, the number one problem with socialism is it violates God's command, thou shalt not steal. If you want a nice vacation, you don't have the right to get your neighbors to pay taxes so that you and your family could take a vacation.
They got more money than you. Steal it from them and get it, right?
Yeah, so you could steal with a gun in a back alley, or you could get a politician who will help you steal from your neighbors to give you housing and health care and education and food stamps and whatever. Your whole life could be stolen from your neighbors who work and given to people who don't work, and it hurts the people who don't work way more than it hurts the people who do work, because the people who do work, they just have to work harder.
Which they'll do.
But the people who don't work become alcoholics, drug addicts, sexually immoral. They grow up without dads in the house. Mm. And so liberals hate God, so therefore they also hate their neighbor. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
God bless you. Appreciate that.
Talk about putting
the speech
it in a
last night.
Right there. I don't even want to talk about the speech. I think you just covered it.
Well, when the Republican from South Carolina yelled,
"You lie!
You lie!" to Obama, when Obama said, "We're not going to cover illegal aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy yelled, "You lie!" Which, because he's a Republican and he said the truth, he apologized immediately thereafter.
And because there was incredible pressure on him from Republicans.
It's a Falwellian syndrome. Jerry Falwell.
Right.
Every Tuesday he'd issue a statement. Every Thursday he'd apologize.
Right.
It was on his calendar.
Yeah, this is like a Falwell's come back from the grave.
So Obama says we're not going to cover illegal aliens. What, is he not going to qualify for his own health care plan? I mean, come on. What village in Kenya was he born in?
Well, we don't know.
Where's his birth certificate?
And I didn't know that he was confused about what hospital in Hawaii he was born in.
He doesn't know what hospital he was born in. And Doug, this U.S. District Court judge in California has agreed to hear the case.
David Carter, yeah.
David Carter and Orly Tate. She's doing the America's Independent Party lawsuit. You know, Alan Keyes.
Orly Tate. We're going to look into this. We're going to do some research.
Yeah.
And we're going to look into this.
So a lot of good stuff. Hey, we're out of time.
We are.
Arvada, Maranatha, what a great school. God bless you all.